going to take our lesson from Hebrews, the second chapter today, verses 1 through 4. Month or so ago, Preston covered this in the Sunday morning class that is being done in Hebrews, and this passage just really, it stood out to me. And so I kind of did a little bit more digging and wanted to share this with you today. Most of the scripture will be here in Hebrews, but we will cover a few extra scriptures. If you want to put a card or leave your thumb in Hebrews, we'll be turning to a couple of other verses. It reads, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." Amen. What a wonderful passage here. We're going to look at this. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." There is a command here, there's a warning here that we need to give a very earnest heed to the things that we've heard. The very first word, therefore, you look at why it starts, why chapter 2 starts off, therefore, it's because of chapter 1. Chapter 1, it's comparing Jesus, the Son of God, is superior to the angels. And that's one of the things that, if you were in Bible class today, the book of Hebrews, to sum it up quickly, is that Jesus and Christianity is far superior to the sacrifices and the law of Moses. That if you had to put it in a nutshell. And chapter 2 starts out, therefore, because of what has been said in chapter 1, that Jesus is far greater, far superior to even the angels. It says we must give the more earnest heed. This is not something that just takes place. It takes conscious effort and attention. It takes special care to do this. It just isn't going to happen on its own. It has to be a priority. The Hebrew writer is saying, because Jesus is superior to the angels, we have to give a more conscious effort, a more earnest heed, as it's talking about, to the things that we have heard. That is how the gospel is shared with each other. Romans 10:17, we've used this verse many times in many sermons, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is how the gospel is shared. Just like it was in the grocery store. You know, verbally. And this is how we build our faith, by hearing the word of God. The book of Hebrews starts out in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, amen, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Amen. God is used in the history of man. God is used various ways to reach his people. He has never just wound us up and sent us out on our own to fend for ourselves to try to figure it out on our own. He's always told us. He's used various ways. He's used burning bushes. He's used the prophets. He's used dreams and visions. He even used Balaam's donkey to talk to us. I don't have the ears of a donkey, but he's used various ways. But now in these last days, which we are in, they were in the last days in the first century church. We are still in these last days. He has spoken to us by his son, Jesus. And this Jesus, his words are going to be what we're going to be judged by. John 12:48. Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. So it would behoove us very greatly if we gave a more earnest heed to the things that were spoken to us, because that word is going to judge us in the last day. And the reason, lest we drift away. Therefore, by the things I've said before, we must give a more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. It is possible to drift away.
Amen.
Any of us that have been in the church for any length of time can probably think of people that we've known, that we've used to worship with, that have drifted away. It may have been because of an event. It may have been for whatever reason. Maybe a person offended them. Another Christian offended them. That is a shame. And that's very sad that a Christian would offend you, but you can't drift away. Don't lose your salvation because of somebody else. And it is possible to fall away. And the Hebrew writer is giving us a warning to give a more earnest heed so we don't drift away. No one plans. I don't think drifting away from God and drifting away from the church is ever anybody's intention. I don't think it's ever on a list of things I got to do today. Got to go grocery shopping. I've got to fill the car up with gas. Well, I don't think I've got enough money to fill the car up with gas, but got to put gas in the car. I've got to do this. I got to do that. I need to fall away from the church. It's never on a planned event. It just happens. All it takes to fall away is to do nothing. That's all it takes. It's lack of effort will get you to fall away from the church. And the Hebrew writer is saying we've got to give a more earnest heed so we don't. Because it is possible. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul wrote, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. The Apostle Paul is saying the same thing that the Hebrew writer is saying. In verse 2 in Hebrews, it says, For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, it starts off, if. If those things spoken, God's words and ways are always right. If you're going to look at the ways that God has spoken to us, they are always right and perfect. They are steadfast, always consistent. God can't be anything but just. God would not be God if he had rules, a different set of rules for everybody. Now, some people are more capable of things than other people are. But the rules aren't any different. I might need more grace than somebody else. But it doesn't mean I don't have to do the same things. That's where grace comes in. But I'm going to go back. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and if every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, we know that they did. God's words have always followed through. Verse 3, if that's the case, which it was, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If everything God has ever done, if he followed through with it, and if every act of disobedience has received a just reward, which they have, how shall we escape? Do you think the rules are going to be different for us than it was for everybody else ever? But God, I'm different. Well, that may be so, but you're still going to be held accountable. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? How shall we escape? We won't. It's as simple as that. We're not going to be able to come up with the I'm special or unique. But God, you don't know what I went through. Jesus, you don't know. You have no idea what I went through in this life. Oh, really? I don't know the persecution you went through. Most of us will never hold a candle to what Jesus went through. How shall we escape? We won't. Romans 3:23. This is one of the first verses I remember coming across being taught me as a teenager when I was starting to study the Bible. The fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That was a little eye-opener to me, that even though I, what I thought was a pretty good person, raised in a fairly moral household, that I fall under that group of people that is called all. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then a few chapters later, Romans 6:23, and realizing the reward for that, the wages of sin is death. That was an eye-opening couple of verses for me as a teenager, to realize that I am one of all, and that I've got sin in my life. And the end result, if I don't do something about it, is death. And that is what the Hebrew writer is saying. Therefore, if all of the things that have been said, if we don't take heed, we might drift away and neglect so great a salvation. A salvation we couldn't come up with. A salvation that in our wildest imagination, we could not come up with a sacrifice good enough for what Jesus did. If we neglect so great a salvation, there's a warning there. That salvation is offered, and we should not neglect or reject it. And some people do. That's the sad thing, is it is offered for all. Christ died for all. Does not mean all will benefit from it. You cannot neglect so great a salvation. To finish out the full part of the verse, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's the good news. The bad news is all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. It just seems to keep getting worse. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans 5, it says, for when we were without strength, I think the New American Standard, this is the New King James, the American Standard Version says, while we were still helpless. I like that term, while we were still helpless. But while we were still without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That is another category that I fit in. I fit in all, and Christ died for the ungodly, which was me. The Apostle Peter addresses the same issue that is talked about in Hebrews. In 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 20, it says, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. That's the sad thing, is the people that did know and drifted away, that the Hebrew that is talked about in Hebrews, we need to give a more earnest heed so we don't drift away. Peter is saying the same thing. For those that drift away, that knew what salvation was and then drifted away, that is sadder than the people that the gospel had never been brought to them. The end result is going to be the same. There's no better or worse as far as the end salvation goes. But how sad for the people on Judgment Day. You knew. You knew. You've been told what to do. And you left it. You thumbed your nose at it. You had the attitude, I don't want it. That's worse than the person that was never told. Doesn't mean that they're any more saved, but how sad for the person that knew. And there's the warning in Hebrews. Give a more earnest heed lest you drift away. says, when at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. We see that the message was originally from Jesus, and it has remained true because those that heard him gave the same message. And those that heard gave the same message. And it gave the same message to the person that taught you. And the same message has just been being kept alive for years, for centuries. Started with the Lord and has remained true to this day. And it ends up with verse 4, God also bearing witness, not only Jesus' word, but God bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. God also bore witness. You look at the Gospels, and you see, not only did Jesus preach the words of life, the power of God was with him in the healing of blind men, in the healing of the lame, bringing Lazarus back from the dead, confirmed the word, and it shored up the words that he spoke, made them true through these signs and miracles. That's what Mark 16, 20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, amen. They did not have the full printed word during the gospel, during the ministry of Jesus that we do today. It just wasn't words. It was the accompanying signs, the miracles, the healings that Jesus had done and now the apostles were doing. And it ends up according to his own will. That's all that matters. His will, not ours. And that concept is what we need to remember today. It's not what I want to do. It's what does the Word of God say to do? I am totally out of the picture. It's what God wants. Are we willing to yield to God's way? Or are we going to be obstinate, dig our heels in? No, I want to do it my way. And don't we see people, maybe we've demonstrated that at times, that we need to remember it's God's way. I'd like to read this one more time as we close. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. A month or so ago when we went over this in class, it jumped out at me. And I wanted to dig a little deeper in this. I hope none of us ever neglect so great a salvation. If you need to respond to the invitation is always open. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not become a Christian, we have the opportunity to do so. I trust there's water in there, Kurt. he checks it. It's probably even nice and warm. We have gone in it sometimes when it's been a little chilly, but I'm assuming it's nice and warm for you. If you need to repent of sin in your life, don't neglect so great a salvation. If we can pray for you in any way for anything, please let us know. Whatever your need, please come forward as we stand and sing.